Happy New Year, Crossville Church. I think you all are still sleeping off some of what you ate last week. But we do appreciate y'all being here with us. Glad that it is a little warmer than it was last Sunday. So, yeah, thank you all for being here. Of course, we are just doing the Sunday morning service this morning. No evening tonight. So no small groups. You are off the hook to watch football, put your feet up, eat something good, fill in the blank for yourself, whatever it is. But enjoy some time with your family, and we will be back on normal schedule this Wednesday evening at 6 p.m., you know, for adults, children, and youth. This Tuesday, we will be having MOPS from 9:30 to 11:30 for the morning session and 6:30 to 8:30 for the evening session. And let me back up a little bit. I'd mentioned Wednesday evening services, but forgot to mention Sunday School Board meeting, or NDI, there it is. A couple years, we'll get that right, and then they'll change it again. So they will be meeting at 5 before the Wednesday evening service. So if you are on that board, don't forget about that. The Bread of Life meal will be this upcoming Saturday. So there is a sign-up sheet in the foyer, as there normally is. Thank you for all of you all who have been bringing food items and or going and volunteering to put those meals together. But this is something we're excited to continue to do this year. And so please check that sign-up sheet on your way out the door this morning and see how you can help with that event next Saturday. And then we'll be back to normal next Sunday. So normal Sunday school, normal church for morning worship, and then normal small group time on Sunday night. We still have the Christmas card box in the back corner. I know we've still got some cards back there. So if you can make a pass-through before you leave this morning, make sure that you have not left any of your family's Christmas cards back there, because that box will be being put up after this morning. So this is your last call for those. Likewise, there is a table beside the Christmas card box, and Lee has got us some calendars out there. I know many of you all took advantage of that last week, but if you've not had a chance for that, there are some good ones back there, and today will be the last day to pick up some free calendars for the year ahead. So make your pass through both of those areas on your way out the door this morning. Church board will be meeting not tomorrow evening, but the following Monday night. So don't forget to pick up your packets next Sunday morning from Wayne in the sound booth. And that will be our first meeting to kick off the new year. All right. I think that's all I have. Don't forget to look through the newsletter on Friday to know about the other things we have going on. And we appreciate you being here this morning.
All right. Well, stand with me as you're able. And let's pray together. I know you probably just sat down, but that's okay. Let's pray together, and then we'll sing a little bit. Father God, we thank you so much for this day that you have given us to come into your house and worship you. Father, it's a new year, but we're thankful that your mercy endures forever. God, you were with us through 2022, and I have no doubt that regardless of what 2023 holds, that you'll be with us in this coming year as well. God, I'm thankful that we don't have to worry about tomorrow, because we know who holds tomorrow and we know who holds our hand. And so, God, this morning, as we worship together, I pray that you would help us to put all the things aside that may be distracting us and focus this morning on you. God, we love you. We praise you. Thank you so much for everything you do. It's in your holy name we pray. Amen.
The power of sin and darkness, whose love is mighty and so much stronger, the King of glory, the King above all kings, who shakes the whole earth with holy thunder and leaves us breathless in awe and wonder, the King of glory, the King above all kings. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love, that you would take my place, that you would bear my cross. I sing for all that you've done for me. Who brings brings our chaos back into order. Who makes the orphan a son and daughter? The King of glory, the King of glory. Who rules the nations with truth and justice, shines like the sun in all of its brilliance. The King of glory, the King above all kings. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love, that you would take my place. The King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy, worthy, worthy. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love, that you would take my place, that you would bear my cross. You laid down your life that I would be set free. I sing for all that you've done for me. God. All my life you have been faithful.
Psalm 100, verse 5 says, "For the Lord is good, and His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations." We just started into a new year, and I know God was good to me in 2022. I don't know what 2023 holds, but I'm thankful that His faithfulness endures from generation to generation. Just because it's a new year doesn't mean it's a new God. It's the same God that's always been. And I'm thankful for that.
What gift of grace is Jesus my Redeemer? There is no more for heaven now to give. He is my joy, my righteousness and freedom, my steadfast love, my deep and boundless peace. To this I hold, my hope is only Jesus. For my life is wholly bound to His. Oh, how strange and divine, I can see all is mine, yet not I. Is dark, but I am not forsaken, for by my side the Savior He will stay. I labor on in weakness and rejoicing, for in my need His power is displayed. To this I hold, my Shepherd will valley will be. Oh, the night has been won, and The future sure, the price it has been paid. For Jesus bled and suffered for my pardon, and he was raised to overthrow the grave. To this I hold, my sin has been defeated. Jesus now and ever is my plea. Oh, the chains are released. I can sing, I am free, yet not I, through Christ in King. With every breath I long to follow Jesus, for he has said that he will bring me home, and day by day I know he will renew me until I stand with joy before the throne. To this I hold, my hope is only Jesus. All the glory ever for to me. When the grace is complete, still my lips shall repeat, yet not I, but through Christ. I hold, my hope is only Jesus. All the glory ever bore to me. When the race is complete, still my lips shall repeat, yet not I, but through Christ in me. When the race is complete, still my lips shall repeat, yet not I, but through Christ in me. Yet not I, but through Christ in me. Yet not I, but through Christ in me.
Thank you, Lord, that that can be our testimony today. That when the race is complete, still our lips shall repeat, yet not I, but Christ in me. And we're grateful, Lord, this morning that you are living in us. That you have come to give us life, that you have come to give us life more abundant. And we're so thankful, Lord, for all that you have done. It is a new year. It is a new time. And we're so thankful, Lord, that you have, as Pastor Tyler said just a moment ago, you have been with us in 2022. We've seen you at work. We've watched your hand move. And Lord, we're not expecting anything less in 2023. We believe, God, you are going to do great and mighty things. And so, Lord, we're trusting you and we're believing you. And we know, God, that you're going to do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine according to your power that's at work within us. And that's the key to all of that, Lord. Your power at work within us. And so, Lord, we want you in this first service of this new year to come and refresh us and renew us and to help us, oh God, that we would know beyond any shadow of a doubt, first of all, that we've been in your presence this morning, but that we're going to do everything that we can do in this new year to live for you and to do what you've asked us to do. Lord, as I said in the newsletter, your word talks about the end being better than the beginning. We want to come to this point in 2024 and say God has worked and God has moved because he has been faithful, but also because we've done our best to be faithful. Lord, we pray for those this morning who need your touch, your physical touch. We're grateful, Lord, for the opportunity to anoint one this morning. But, Lord, there are others that need your physical touch. There are relatives of people in our congregation that need your physical touch today. And so, Lord, we ask that you would touch and help and heal as only you can. Thank you, God, for the hope that we have in that. And thank you, Lord, for this time that we have together. I pray, Father, that as your church this morning gives, that you would bless and use their giving. And may it be used to build your kingdom here at home and around the world. And now, Lord, I pray that as we look into your word, that you, through the power of your Spirit, would anoint as only you can. And may we receive from you what you have to say to us today. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
Well, good morning. Some of y'all stayed up too late last night. Listen, I did. I was in a quandary because I was watching Ohio State and Georgia and wanted to watch the ball drop in New York, and the ball dropped right as Ohio State's kicker decided he didn't want to kick anymore. So that's another story for another time. My condolences to those of you who are Ohio State fans. For what it's worth, I was an Ohio State fan last night because there's nothing worse than a Georgia Bulldog except for a Alabama pachyderm or whatever in the world they are. But anyway, before I dig too deep, let's move on. Over the next few weeks, we're going to be talking about some of the core values of the church. And I drew the first sermon. You can call it the short straw. You can call it whatever you want to. But anyway, I'm going to be talking to you a little bit this morning about service. Now, I know that doesn't say what I just said up there, but we're going to get there. So let's just work through it together. I, as you probably have figured out, was born and raised in the South. I was born in the South. I will die in the South. And when I'm dead, I'll be Southern dead. And that's just all there is to it. But as a fine Southern gentleman, I have, over the course of years, had many conversations about the ability to hunt in various and sundry places. Just this past week, I was actually hunting on Friday with my cousin and killed about a 120-pound black bear. If you want to hear the rest of that story, then you can talk to me later. I will give you the short version of it to say that it was a very sensitive moment and that bear died with very many bullet wounds. It did not exactly go as planned. But anyway, over the years, many times I've had conversations, friends of mine have had conversations with people trying to find places to hunt and that kind of thing. And generally speaking, these conversations go one of two ways. You can go down the road, you know, now they make it easy for you. I've got an app on my phone that I pay $30 a year for. It tells me exactly where the plot lines are for property, and it tells me who owns it and gives me their phone number. So I don't have to beat on their door. I can just call them and say, hey, can I hunt? And it's a whole lot easier for them to tell me no that way. So it just feels better for everybody. But anyway, before all these apps came around, you had to go door to door and just knock on the old farmer's door and say, hey, can I hunt your property? Now, that conversation typically goes one of two ways. You knock on the door and it's going to go something like this. He's going to open the door. You're going to say, hey, how are you? He's probably going to respond with something like, ah, fair to middling. How's your mama and them? And then he's probably going to say, would you like to have a glass of tea? And after that, you're probably going to end up sitting on his front porch for about 45 minutes to an hour, having a conversation with him and who he affectionately calls mama. And then eventually you're going to get around to the point where you say, listen, I'd like to hunt some of your land. Now, typically, what happens to me is when I have these conversations, it goes something like this. Well, you know, I'd love to let you hunt up there, but I've got a grandboy that hunts back there, and I don't want you to go in there and hunt and do this and that and what have you. Or it goes like this. Well, you know, you can hunt this field over there, but I don't want you over here in this field because it's off limits. Here's what I want us to understand this morning. I'm going somewhere with this, and we need to understand something. In order to be servants of God, to serve God to the fullest capacity, we have to give God unrestricted access to our lives. I know that sounds fun. Just buckle up and hold on because it's going to get better. So, anyway, the question I want us to ask this morning and ultimately answer is, what areas of our lives does God need access to? So, there are three areas that I have kind of narrowed down that we can talk about this morning. Again, I don't think that God has called us to be gatekeepers. And so that's what I want us to help. I want to help you understand this morning. The first thing that I see is that God needs access to our time. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8 through 15 says this. It says, for you were once darkness, but now you are the light of the Lord. Live as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth.
and find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. It's shameful to even mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated by a light, that is why it's said, wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Be careful then how you live, not as wise, but as unwise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. And then if you flip over to John chapter 9, verses 4 and 5, it says this. It says, as long as it is day, we must do the works of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Here's what we need to understand this morning. Time is valuable. God wants us to give him access to what time we have. He's the one who gives it anyway, so why in the world can we not give it back to him? That's the question that I would ask. See, here's the thing. We can't waste the opportunities that are given to us. We got to live wisely because, like the scripture said, the days are increasingly evil. And if we don't use our time the way that we should, then we get sucked right into that, right? We need to understand something. It's time, like the scripture said, for God's people to wake up and smell the roses. Here's the thing that we need to understand. In 2023, Christians, in 2022, Christians, we waste so much time on things that don't matter. They don't amount to a hill of beans. It's time. Paul tells Timothy this, and I think it's very important. I think it's something that would work for us as well. Paul tells Timothy not to waste his time pursuing foolish conversation and godless myths. Here's the thing that we need to understand. I think we need to quit wasting our time worrying about what Fox News has to say or CNN or anybody in between. I don't care. It doesn't matter. I'm just saying we don't need to worry about what the Democrats are doing. We don't need to worry about what the Republicans are doing. That's not what we're here for. God did not call us to be politicians. God called us to be Christians and to win people for Christ. And if we waste our time focusing on these things, then it's hard to get it back. Here's the thing that we need to understand. When we take time, we find time for things that are important. And what we devote our time to is what we have deemed as important, right? We give the most time to things that have the most importance in our lives. And that's not always necessarily evenly distributed. I will tell you, I was pastoring on the south side of Knoxville in a rather rough area of town. And I was driving one day from South Knoxville over to the west side of Knoxville to the Christian Academy of Knoxville for a soccer game, which is a whole other story for another time. But I don't know why it is, but it seems like these Christian schools are the ones that are the absolute worst to referee. But that's got nothing at all to do with this. I was running late because I didn't calculate for traffic, and you can't get from one side of Knoxville to the other side of Knoxville at basically any time of day in a reasonable amount of time. And so I was running late. I pulled off the exit there at Cedar Bluff to swing in, to go around, and I stopped at Weigel's because I was needing something to drink for my game that I was about to referee. And as I was walking in, there was this homeless guy sitting over to the side. And I felt like God was saying, hey, you need to stop and talk to him. And I said, whoa, time out. Here's the thing you need to understand. I'm running 5 minutes behind, and I don't have time to stop and talk to this cat over here. I don't have time to fool with him. It's not whatever. So my intention was to just run in. I grabbed two Powerades, and I thought, well, you know what? I'll just grab an extra Powerade and a pack of trail mix and throw it his way as I go out, and we'll go on with life. I know, me, cold-hearted, oh, whatever. You can say what you want to, but I think we probably do it more often than we would admit. But anyway, as I was walking out, I'm getting ready to give him this Powerade and this trail mix, God kind of hit me again, and he said, no, you really need to stop and talk to him. And I said, I do not have time. You don't understand. I've got places to be, people to see, and that guy's not one of them. So anyway, long story short, I stopped, gave him the Powerade, gave him the trail mix, and I talked to him for just a minute. He told me his name, and I said, well, what's your story, man? What's going on? Why are you here? What's brought you to this point? He told me his story and about how he had this big, long, rough life and the series of events that had led to him being homeless. And then he told me this, which kind of hit me all kinds of sideways. He said, I'd been sitting here telling myself that if somebody didn't stop and talk to me today about Jesus that I was going to go jump off the bridge over the interstate, and that was going to be the end of it. And I had to stop and just kind of collect myself and say, wow, our time is valuable. We have time to give. We just don't give it because we don't think things are important enough to devote our time to it. And that's what we need to understand. Like the scripture says, the night is coming when no man can work. Time is running short. We need to quit squabbling about ignorant things in our lives and in the church and in the world around us and focus on winning people for Jesus, because that's what it's really all about, right? There's a poem by a guy named C.T. Studd, and it's pretty lengthy, but I'm going to read it to you because I think it's important. This is what it says. Two lines I heard one day, traveling life will soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. Only one life. The still small voice gently pleads for a better choice, bidding me selfish aims to leave and to God's holy will to cleave. Only one life, which will soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. Only one life, a few brief years, each with its burdens, hopes, and fears, each with its days I must fulfill, living for self or in His will. Only one life will soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. Give me, Father, it says, a purpose deep, in joy or sorrow Thy word to keep, faithful and true whate'er the strife, pleasing Thee in daily life. Only one life will soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. And then the last stanza says this, only one life, yes, only one. Now let me say, Thy will be done. That when at last I hear the call, I'll know, I'll say, 'twas worth it all. Only one life, 'twill soon be past. And only what's done for Christ will last. Like I said, the reality of the situation is we devote our time to what we see as important. What the church, let's bring it a little closer to home, what the church devotes its time to is what we see as important, right? See, we have this idea in the church that we don't want to waste time on anything new because it might not work. We might fail at it. Here's what we need to understand. My biggest fear for my life, my biggest fear for the church is not failure. It's that we'll be wildly successful at something that doesn't amount to a hill of beans in the grand scheme of eternity. That's what it's all about. Only one life will soon be passed, and only what's done for Christ will last. God needs access to our time. There are two other things that God needs access to. The second thing is this. God needs access to our gifts. Now, that's not what you think it is, so just hold on for a minute. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 3 through 11 says this. It says, for you have spent enough time in the past doing what pagans choose to do, living in debauchery and lust and drunkenness, carousing and detestable idolatry. They are surprised that you do not join them in their reckless, wild living, and they heap abuse on you. Let me stop right here for a second. This is Peter writing, and he's writing to, anybody want to guess? Christians scattered abroad in Asia Minor. And he's telling them, you've spent enough time in the past dealing with the evil folks. It's time for you to buck up and do what you're supposed to do. Anyway, that was free, not in my notes, going to move on. But, he says, they will have to give account to Him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. For this is the reason that the gospel was preached even to those who are now dead, so that they might be judged according to human standards in regard to the body, but live according to God in regard to the spirit. The end of all things is near, he says. Therefore, be alert and of sober mind so that you may pray. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each of you, he says, should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. Here's what we need to understand. We have wasted enough time squandering our gifts. It's time to use our gifts to spread the message of God's grace to a world that is desperately searching for answers. You don't have to look very far to find somebody who is in need of the truth of the gospel. See, it seems as though Peter is telling these Christians that are scattered abroad all through Asia Minor, they've spent enough time wasting the gifts that God has given them. Peter issues this call for Christians that were scattered abroad to use their gifts for God's glory. But here's what we need to understand. That's not just a call that was given to Christians several thousand years ago in Asia Minor. That's a call that was given to Christians right here, right now, today in Crossville, Tennessee. And that's what we've got to get. God has called us to use our gifts to change the world. And while our gifts may differ, our call is the same. It's the call to share the gospel with a lost and dying world. See, God's given you a gift, and He expects you to use it. So here's what I would say for the younger among us. Don't be afraid to use your gifts for God. That's what He's given them for. For the seasoned saints among us, let me let you in on a little secret. I don't find it anywhere in Scripture where it says that you get to retire the gifts that God's given you. That's not how that works. I'm sorry, it just is what it is. You don't hit 65 and get to check out just because you're done and you're tired. That's not how it works. God has given you a gift, and a Christian is called to a lifelong life of service. That doesn't matter if you're 5, it doesn't matter if you're 65, it doesn't matter if you're 105. God has given you a call. He's given you a gift, and He intends for you to use it until the day that you no longer breathe on this earth. And that's what the call is all about. Don't waste your gifts. Don't put them on a shelf. Use them for the full potential for the glory of God and the good of the kingdom. Third thing that God needs access to is this, our resources. Now, Pastor William's going to talk to you here in a few weeks about money. I'm not going to do that because I don't do that. But anyway, so we're going to go a little different direction with this. So just buckle up and hold on. It'll be okay. I know you're enjoying it this far. I can see the looks on your face. So anyway, we'll just carry right on. James chapter 2, verses 14 through 17 says this. What good is it, brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if not accomplished by works, is dead. Two churches that I previously pastored, not the ones you're thinking of, but another one, had very similar conversations with the boards in both churches. In two different places, I was approached about the potential of us hosting a Celebrate Recovery group. And for those of you who don't know what that is, it's a step-based program for those who are suffering from addiction and that kind of thing. It's biblically based, but in two different places, I'd been approached to about starting one of these groups in our church. And I'm not telling you what God's calling us to do. This is just an illustration, so just hold on for a second. Anyway, sitting in a board meeting one day, and I very vividly remember this moment because I was talking to the board about this possibility of bringing these individuals in that were suffering from these different kinds of addictions and that kind of thing. And I remember when I had this discussion, a man stood up in the board meeting and pointed his finger at me, and he said, you need to understand something, preacher. We don't want those kinds of people in our church. And I will tell you this. If not for those kinds of people, then who in the world is God here for? If He's here for me, then He's here for them just as well. The second time I had this conversation, it was very similar. Well, you know, we just need to make sure we lock everything up. And I told him right then and there, well, you need to understand something. There's not a thing in this building that belongs to us anyway. It's every bit God's, and He gave it to us to start with. So why in the world are we worried about it? Anyway, faith without works is dead. God did not bless you with resources for you to withhold what you have. Let me bring that down a little closer. God did not bless us here in Crossville, Tennessee, at the Crossville Church of the Nazarene, with this beautiful sanctuary and classrooms and office buildings and a family life center with a full gym. He didn't give us all those things so that we could hold them close and not use them to minister to others. That's not what He gave them for. God doesn't bless you for the purpose of you holding that blessing close. He blesses you for the purpose of you sharing that blessing with others, right? Okay. I think, here's what we need to understand. I think Paul pretty well sums up where our hearts are when we refuse to use what God has given us to reach people with the message of the gospel. Paul's writing to Titus, and he's writing about the people of Crete, and he does not hold them in high regard, let me tell you. He tells them that they're lazy and they're drunkards and all these terrible things, but this is what he says. He says, they claim to know God, but their actions deny Him. They're detestable, disobedient, and unfit for anything good. if we're not using what God has given us for the purpose of reaching others for Christ, then I think that's exactly where we're at. We claim to know God, but our actions deny Him. See, we can't withhold what God has given us and expect God to continue to bless us. That's not how it works. That's not how God operates. God has called us to be good stewards and give Him complete and total access to our resources. I'll say this in conclusion. We have not been called to be gatekeepers. God wants you to give unrestricted access to all areas of your life. God has called us to open up the door to a lost and dying world that needs the message of the gospel. See, Scripture provides a warning for you if you choose to live in restricted access mode. In John's Revelation, he writes to the church of the Laodiceans, which is interesting to me because if you read it in the King James, it's always to the church at Philadelphia. It's to the church at Sardis. But when he gets to Laodicea, it's the church of the Laodiceans, which has always intrigued me, and I think there's a reason for that. But anyway, I'm not going to get into that because that's a whole other sermon. Revelation chapter 3, verses 15, 16, and verse 20 says this. He says to the church in Laodicea, of Laodicea, I know your deeds. You're neither cold or hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, you're neither hot or cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. And this is the verse that always interests me right here, verse 20. He says, here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me. You need to understand what's going on here. This is a letter to the church, right? These people, this is a church that he's talking about. And what's going on is church is happening, but Jesus isn't in the building. Jesus is standing on the outside knocking on the door saying, hey, if you'll let me in, I'll be happy to come to the party. But you're not opening the door. And that's exactly what he's talking about here. And what's going on is these Laodiceans are living in restricted access mode. This brings us to, I think, a very important question. Do you have possession of things that God needs to have access to? I want you to understand what's happening. Again, this letter's being written to a church. These are Christians, but Jesus is not in the house because they've not invited him in. They've shut the gate and said, you stay out there. I'm not going to let you hunt around in here because I'm afraid you might find something that you might want to get a hold of. God needs access to every area of your life, and that includes the ones that you don't want to open up. See, here's the thing that you need to understand. What God is calling us to do as farmers, when somebody comes and knocks on the door and says, hey, I'd like to hunt your property, you say, well, yeah, you can hunt back there. And here's the keys to those gates over there, and if I ever buy any property down the road, I'll make sure you get a key to that gate too. That's what God is calling us to do. That's where we have to be if we're going to serve God to the greatest of our potential. You'll never be able to serve God if you refuse to give Him unrestricted access. What about you? What gates do you need to open? God wants access. Are you willing to let Him have it? So we're going to pray, and if we can, we're going to play something on the piano. Maybe not. We got a sleeping baby over there. It'll be okay. You just stay put. We'll just pray. And if God is speaking to you this morning about an area in your life that needs some changing or rearranging, if you've got some gates in your life that you've not given up the keys to, today's the day. I don't care if you're young. I don't care if you're old. I don't care if you identify somewhere in between. It doesn't make any difference. If you've got an area in your life that God has pointed out and has said, you need to give this up, then today's the day. There's no better day than right now. Start off the new year fresh and say, God, I want you to have complete and total access to everything that I have. Let's pray. God, we thank you so much for this day. Thank you for this time to come into your house and worship you. Father, I thank you for your words. God, I know they're not always easy to hear. They're not always easy to share, but Father, I pray that you would take the words that you've given us this morning, that you would apply them to our lives. God, I pray that you would help us to understand that if we are to serve you to our fullest potential, that we've got to open up the gates. We've got to make sure that there are no areas in our life that we are holding back from you. God, I pray that you would help us to give access to our time. I pray that you would help us to give access to our gifts. Father, I pray that you would help us to use our resources to be able to minister to the world, to the community around us that is hurt, that's lost, that's dying without a Savior. Father, that you would help us to see the need, that you would give us a burden for the lost, and that we would use the things that you have given us to spread the gospel and build your kingdom. God, if there's one here this morning that has an area in their life that needs some changing and some rearranging, God, I pray that you would point it out to them and that you would help them to understand that you are a God who busts gates wide open and uses those fields of our life for your glory if we'll just let you have control. Father, I pray this morning for each and every one that's here as we leave this place. I pray that you would keep us safe, lead us, guide us, direct us in the days to come. And for everything you do, we'll give you praise, we'll give you honor, and we'll give you glory for it. It's in your holy name we pray. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed.